This session comes under the category of church truth. We have done, I believe, only one session on church truth so far. Is that correct? And which one was it? It was on the Lord's Supper. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to read one verse, and I'm going to, Lord willing, talk about one concept during this session. And if we can capture that concept, I'll think we've done something, and I think it will be profitable for us throughout life to have captured this one concept. Now, what's this?
I said that's a good thing.
Yes, well, see? There we are, yes. I was wondering. See, that's right. That's right. Well, I haven't told you what the thing is yet. 1 Corinthians 14, and look down at verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14, 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, the word decently is apparently a general word that we want to be proper and decent and so on. But what I'd like to talk about, the thing that I'd like to talk about, is the last word of the sentence, the word order, and what the word means in this context. The word order in our English language can have a very casual meaning when we're talking about things being kind of orderly. Oh, this kind of room's kind of a mess. Let's kind of just put it in order or something like that. Just kind of straighten it up a little bit is what the word could mean in some contexts. What I'm going to look at is another context, and I believe that's the one used here, and I think we're going to see why on as we go along, and that is the use of the word order as a technical term. The use of the word order as a technical term, which means in a particular context it has a rigorous definition. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, whoa, 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 technical, rigorous, definition, I don't like any of these words. Not to worry. Let's just think for a moment. This order is to apply when, first of all. And we're going to say what the order is. That's our goal today. But when does this apply, according to this passage in 1 Corinthians 14? Verse 23 might give you a hint. All right, when the church, the whole church, comes together in one place, church being assembly, when the people of the assembly assemble, then all things are to be done decently, and then there's this special word, in order. All right. Well, let's not talk about the assembly for a while, because that's hard. Let's talk about things we understand better. Well... I don't know if we understand the Senate better, but let's talk about things that are more secular for a moment and not the biblical situation. How many of you have cable TV and get a show called C-SPAN or have ever seen it at all? I mean, even if it was for 1 minute. Okay, most people have. Boring show, boring thing, right? What somebody did with C-SPAN was they would put cameras in the House and Senate chambers and just play on TV whatever happens to be going on, no matter how boring it might be. And but you know, when the House meets and so on, you would see them do special things according to special rules, right? They're like congressman from... Why do you call me good? The good congressman from Tennessee is now recognized for 5 minutes, and the congressman from Tennessee speaks for 3 minutes and says, I yield the balance of my time to so-and-so, and then that so-and-so is now hereby recognized, and that person gets up and starts talking. What are they following? They're following a rule book, right? A rule book that says how they are to proceed in official session, right? What is one of the rules? Now, have you ever heard this big rah, 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 and they're like, the person at the front's taking the gavel. Not, something's not being done right. And what rule is being broken at that point when you hear these people kind of chattering and so on? What's the rule? What rule is being broken? The rule that says what? One person talks at a time, and in the house, that person has to be recognized before they speak and so on. Okay, so there is a rule book, not that the people necessarily have it next to them all the time, but there is a rule book that they could look up if they wanted to, that explains how things will proceed. Now, if you have a meeting of the Senate at a picnic, because it's on the White House lawn, because the president has invited all the senators to the White House lawn to have a picnic. So all the senators are there. How many conversations are going on at one time? Lots of them, right? 25, 50, however many, right? People are talking at the same time, and what's even worse is, you know, in some of these conversations, one person is monopolizing the time. He's talking almost all the time, and the other people are talking almost none of the time. Horrible, isn't it? Why isn't there somebody in the middle of that picnic whacking a gavel, telling people to stop doing what they're doing? Well, all of the senators are there, aren't they? Yes, right, fine. So though all the senators are there, they are not meeting as a Senate, right? They just happen to all the senators be there. So you would not say the Senate is meeting. You would simply say, well, all of the senators happen to be there at a picnic. They're gathered there, but they're not meeting as the Senate. They're not an official meeting, are they? When they are an official meeting, this rule book applies, right? We're not saying anything crazy yet, right? We will soon, but not yet. Okay. There is a time in secular society when the word church was used in the Bible, right? And some of you know where it is. It's in Acts 19. Let's come over and look at that for a moment. Acts 19. We're after this idea. What's our goal again? This is another speaker's tips that we were talking about. You stop in the middle of your message and remind people where you are. What's our goal again? We're going to figure out the word what?
Order.
And not as a mere loose descriptive term, but the word order as a technical term. Now, Acts chapter 19, and look down at verse 29. Acts 19, 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater, that's a whole city rushing into a theater, with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. It's a big pack of wild dogs in there. All right, verse 32. Some, therefore, cried one thing, and some another. Now look at the next phrase. For the church or assembly, not church in a religious sense, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. All right? Look down now at verse 35. Does this match any church gatherings? I don't know. The majority did not know why they had come together. Verse 35. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, so now we have a city clerk. This is somebody in an official position. Quiets the crowd. Now look at what he says in verse 38. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. Okay, now I want you to see what happened here. They're angry with Paul, they're angry with Paul's companions, they're rushing like a pack of wild animals to lynch these people, and they're rushing in, and they're not going to have a fair hearing, they're not going to have a fair anything, they're going to lynch these people. And they all get in there, and the city clerk says, wait a minute, stop, everyone stop what you're doing. You are trying to execute what must be done under official policy, not as a wild mob. And as such, you have to do it in a lawful assembly, not a riotous mob assembly. Right? In other words, when you are acting in official capacity, and in this case, you are declaring people guilty and seeking to execute them, it must be done in a lawful assembly. That's what we read at the end of verse 40. And in verse 38, he says, if these people that say they were wronged have a case against anyone, there are places in which order reigns, in which they are to go. Order meaning a rule book by which things are to proceed. And in that case, verse 38, where was such a place? In the courts, right? In the courts where things will proceed according to a rule book, and not a rule book so much as a procedure book in how things will proceed, right? So this idea that this mob is going to go and they're just going to make a conclusion and execute it as official city policy, that it, I mean, you don't execute people, it becomes murder otherwise. No, says the city clerk. This is not a lawful assembly. We need to get... So there is a difference, then, between a gathering, a mere gathering of some people, and an assembly of people. Now think about this. That picnic of the Senate, would you call that... would you say the Senate has gathered on the White House lawn? Or would you say the Senate has assembled on the White House lawn? Now, in our loose language, we might say either one. But suppose we actually tried to be very accurate. What would we say? Gathered. That is, they're just all there. That's all we mean. But when you say in the technical sense of the word, they have assembled, it means they have assembled officially under the rules of procedure and everything else that they're going to do. So, in order for them to assemble legally, there must be a what? An? What? Yes, an order. So, this idea then, let's then figure out what an order is. When used as in a technical sense, an order is a written set of procedures by which an assembly will be conducted. A written set of procedures by which, and when I say the word assembly, I'm not talking necessarily religiously now, I mean the official gathering, if you will be conducted. There will be an order. Is there an order in the Senate? Yes, that is, there is a procedure book. It's not that they may have it by their sides all the time, but if it was called into question, people would know where to go to look it up, right? There's a place where they can go to find it. I say written because it has to be disseminated and known by all the parties involved, right? I mean, you can't, like, keep the order book to you, and every time somebody does something you don't like, say, I'm sorry, that doesn't follow the order we're following here. They have to know it, right? So it has to be written to be able to be disseminated. Okay. Let's think about a court case. Is there an order in a court case? An order is a written set of procedures by which the case is going to proceed. Do they have such a thing? What kinds of things does the order say? Oh, first of all, when is the order in effect?
When he says order in the court.
Ah, exactly. When he says what? Well, actually, that order in the court is usually said by the judge when someone has veered out of the order. But before, yeah?
When the bailiff says, all rise for the...
This court will come to order, they usually say. And I've been to court cases. They really say this. And a bailiff, and actually the one I went to in Virginia, it was a civil case among corporations. It wasn't like somebody, you know, parked illegally or something. But it was almost scary the way the bailiff came out, because they like cry out in this case. I mean, I don't think that's in all states, but they like cry out this weird thing, you know, hear ye, something, whatever. It's something that they do at the beginning. And I'm just like, what's happening, you know? And then they say, this court will come to order, meaning that right now, starting now, the rule book applies. In other words, right before that, there were 5 conversations going on among people here, people there. How long did it take you to get here? I don't know. I got here pretty easily. I parked down there. All of a sudden, this court will come to order, meaning now the rules of session of this session, the procedures of this session will come into play. Right? And those rules indicate what, among other things? They indicate when people can do what? Speak. So, for instance, when it's the defense's turn, right, and the defense attorney is speaking and maybe questioning somebody on the stand, can the prosecuting attorney on the other side be going, not, that's a bunch of baloney, you don't know what you're doing, liar, what? Well, hold on a minute, we'll get to that in a second. Well, can he do that? No. What can he do? Say?
I object.
I object, and if he does that, that would have to immediately be followed with what? No? His reason, and the reason will be one of a certain list of things, right? And there's an enumerated list of the things that he has to follow it up with. That is the only thing he can say. So if you were to read, I've never looked at the order in a court as to what it reads like. But if you were to imagine what it reads like, what would you imagine? You would imagine things written like this. You know, when the defense attorney is doing whatever the defense attorney does, the prosecuting attorney shall be silent, with the exception of using the word objection, which must immediately be followed by one of these following words for grounds for the objection. In which case they must remain silent, and the judge then will reply with sustained or not, or whatever the judge might reply with. In which case, if overruled, the prosecuting attorney must remain silent, and the defense attorney goes on. Could you imagine that that's how it would read, something like that, right? Why do they have such an order in a court? Well, you're not going to get anything done, and ultimately it's for the fairness of the trial. I mean, that things are laid out so that this person is going to be able to get their fair hearing without undue interference, but of course we have to allow a little interference with the objections, otherwise this person might do things wrong, so we allow for the objection. And then when it's this person's turn, they can lay out their case without undue problems, and it's all done for the proper procedure of the court to hopefully come out with a fair outcome. When the court goes to recess, then court is now in recess. What happens? The rules of order then cease for until they come back into session. So we see it in secular society. The Senate has an order, right? It is a written set of rules by which they would conduct their procedures, which they can look at, which can be deviated from, in which case a call is made to come back to order, right? All right. In the courts, there is an order. And we can hear, come back to 1 Corinthians 14, by the way, and we can hear in our minds how an order might read. An order is going to read things like, while so-and-so is speaking, there is only to be one person speaking at a time, and the other is to be silent, with a certain exceptions, of course. And in this case, if A, B, and C happens, then this person is to sit down, and the other is to proceed. Does this sound familiar to anything? Okay. What we have in 1 Corinthians 14, beginning at verse 23, and especially beginning at verse 26, we have the written documentation of order. And that is, it is a technical term, this idea of an order, that describes the rules by which things will proceed in the official assembly. Right? Now, look at verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church come together in one place, and verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? Now, what happens when they come together in verse 26? Each has a psalm. Each has a teaching. Each has a tongue. Each have a revelation. Each has an interpretation. Stop right there. Think about it now. Imagine going into court. There are, you know, there's an important case, and there are, you know, 50 people outside pressing the door. Why are they all pressing the door to get to the judge? Why are they all there? Why do they all want to get to the judge? Because they all have something to say. I have something to say. Wait, I have something to say. And they're all trying to get to the judge because they all have something to say. And what's the only way the judge is going to handle it? We are going to do this in a lawful assembly, right? That is, according to rules of procedure with regarding to the court. Well, in some similar sense, well, they all come and they all have something to say. Well, that's a good thing here in the sense that spiritually, people are active. Well, that's wonderful. But there are then rules of order. If anyone speaks in a tongue, verse 27, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. Does this sound like how a rule of order would sound in the Senate or in court or something like that? It does, doesn't it? And so if someone's speaking in a tongue, well, how many can there be, first of all? Two or at the most? Three. Right? And there has to be one person to interpret them all. If one person has the gift of interpretation, that person ought to be able to do that. And it's interesting now, this is a little side comment, if such a thing is possible, then I would imagine if people here and there have gifts of interpretation, you could imagine that, I mean, there probably is more than one around available. Because here it says, let one do it, though. It would be interesting, wouldn't it, if there were more than one who has the gift of interpretation, to have them write the interpretation rather than speak it occasionally. Because what can you do then? You can, like, put them together and see that they are, in fact, the same thing. But anyway, all right, that's a little side comment. Don't test the spirits like that, Craig. Okay. But look at verse 28. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Is that how reading might go with regard to a court case? If the objection followed by the reason was overruled, then let him what? Keep silent. I mean, it reads the same way that we would expect an order in a technical sense to read. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Now, this one's a little trickier. In the previous case, how many were allowed? Two or three. I want you to tell me exactly how it reads. How many were allowed? What? Two or at the most three. That's exactly how it read. Now, how does it read in verse 29?
Two or three.
Two or three. Now, there are two ways to take this, and I apologize for not telling you, look, I know what it is. Some people say that since it's following what just took place, two or at the most three, that you take it the same way. In other words, when it says two or at the most three, is the upper limit a little negotiable or is it firm? Firm. Two or at the most three. And some people say, well, this two or three, I mean, obviously it's the same, going in the same vein. Two or at the most three, even though it didn't say at the most three. Others say, no, it's actually significant that it doesn't say at the most three. It's used like it's used other times in Scripture, two or three. And when you look at it, how it's used other times, it means not tons, just, you know, just a few. I mean, not so that some people may say that this, you know, this isn't saying that if a fourth one gets up, he gets shot or anything like that. It's saying two or three, not the whole group. It's not everybody. It's just, you know, two or three, you know, sometimes four. I mean, it's not a hard rule. I'm not going to explain which one it is, but because I don't know. But we'll just take the scripture for what it says. It is a different reading than when it said very clearly two or at the most three. We'll stop there. All right. Look at verse 30 then. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first what? Keep silent. And there are times in other secular orders whereby something like that would be read. When this happens, then the one who was speaking is to be silent. All right. And it's in this context, by the way, that we have verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches. How many other times in this chapter have we read of somebody that needs to be silent? Where are they? Two. Where are they? Verse 28. One is to keep silent, and verse 20, where's the other one? 30, one is to keep silent. Tell me, in verse 28, this person who is speaking in an unknown tongue and there's no one to interpret and has to be silent, is there any thought that that person was an idiot? No, there's no thought of that at all. It just wasn't according to the order, right? It didn't mean that that person didn't have good things to say or intelligent things to say or anything like that. When you come to verse 30, the first who was a prophet speaking sits and goes silent while the other one goes ahead. Does that mean that that first person just, well, that the problem is that first person wasn't smart enough. That's what was the problem was. You know, well, they may be, well, so it. My point, it doesn't necessarily mean that. That's all right. And somehow when people come to verse 34, which reads just like any other statement you would expect to see in a written order, they say, oh, well, obviously Paul was demeaning women in terms of thinking that they didn't have anything important to contribute. Yet when we see the other instances of being silent, nobody ever thinks that. So it's in this context we have this idea, let all things be done decently, and then it says, and in order. Now, there's another place that an order is found in secular society. And there's a book you can buy, you can get it from Amazon. It's called Robert's Rules of Order. Has anybody seen that book? So it's a few people, or how many have heard of the book? A few people, all right. It's a book used by, well, lots of people. It's used by companies, for instance, when they have board meetings and so on. They often will meet according to Robert's Rules of Order. And it is a written book. You can buy it. You can look at it. You can open it up and read. And it indicates the procedures by which a corporate meeting will proceed. So people will know when they... So have you heard these meetings where they, you know, somebody says, you know, well, I move that we do so-and-so. And what is said after that? What does the facilitator say, right? When somebody says, I move that we do so-and-so.
I second that?
No, not I second it, but what?
So we have a
Do we have a second, right? Is there somebody else who cares to talk about this, right? Who cares to entertain this idea? Because according to the order, it says if a motion is made, conversation will not proceed on that until there is a second. And if there is no second, let that person be silent. Okay? And you've seen this, right? And this is, you know, you've even seen it on TV maybe in something. And when the discussion ends, and there are ways by which the discussion has to go forward, then they say, all in favor of the motion, aye, and the nays and everything like that. That's all written down in books, and it's the most popular one by far is called Robert's Rules of Order. So that's available, and it's interesting to compare. Now, who can use Robert's Rules of Order? Can Gillette, the company Gillette, can they use that for their board meetings? How about a charity? Can a charity have a board meeting and say, we're going to follow Robert's Rules of Order? Yeah? What about Gillette? You are not convinced that they...
Well, as long as it's in their bylaws and things, as long as in their rules they're allowed...
Oh, yeah, no, right. So, but I mean, can they within their... They may have their own, but can they say, we are going to choose to... Okay, so Gillette can do it. Ford Motor Company can do it. Right? The American Red Cross can do it. A charity can do it, right? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation can do it if they want. Right? Why am I bringing all this up? Isn't it interesting? The order, that is this written document, does not specify the content. It only specifies the procedure. Now, I'll explain why I'm getting at this in a second. What is the goal of Gillette Corporation? What are they trying to do? They're not trying to sell razors. That's a step in their ultimate goal. Make money. What is a charity trying to do? Aside from raise money, give away money, right? In other words, you have complete opposite goals, right? And yet they're both using the same Robert's Rules of Order. Why can they do this? The order does not specify the content. The order is only specifying the procedure by which something would be done. Whether you're trying to make money, you can use it. You can be trying to give away money, and you can use it. You can work for a nonprofit corporation and try to do it. And the order that is specified, some people say, well, now, which meetings does this apply to? Because, you know, this is, you know, is it when we're doing ministry where our goal is to try to build ourselves up, or is it, what would we say to that question? Right, order does not specify the content, right? It's merely the procedures by which it follows. So the answer is when the church comes together, if we're breaking bread, if we're ministry or whatnot, it's the order is not specifying content. Anyway, that's just the thought of what is an order and that business. Now, it's 4:10 and not the shotgun. It's 4:10 and yeah, glad one person knows what a 4:10 is. Those of you who are going to play Frisbee, we can take off the mic now. Those of you that are going to play